Hey, Kevin Gesterling, play Glory Hole. Alrighty, throw a slash and grab my ass. This is Get the Puck Out. Brought to you by Full Press Coverage here. Kyle, how are you today, buddy?
Doing good, Chrissy. I think better than you this morning. Woke up and we got a tied series and finally a Stanley Cup Finals that might go seven games. It's been a while since that's happened, but a lot to talk about today. Chrissy and I are going to break down the last two games, actually, of this entire series and kind of how the tables have turned a bit from Game 3 to Game 4. And Chrissy, how are you feeling this morning? What did you think of yesterday's game?
Another game where I didn't think the Bruins played very well. And I'm not trying to discredit St. Louis. I think they did. They responded great. You knew Ryan O'Reilly after he just got dusted in Game 3 by Bergeron. You knew he was going to come out spirited. He scored two goals, including the big winner there in the third period. 10:38 into the third period, he makes a nice play in front of the net. Pietrangelo was great. Big response game for St. Louis. But again, we did what we had to do when we went there 1-1. The Bruins come back home to Boston. They split. They already did what they had to do in Game 3. We got a best of three for the Stanley Cup Finals with two games in Boston. I feel good still, man. I feel good.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to really gripe about. The Blues have rebounded well all playoffs. And that was a big question going in tonight was, how is Jordan Binnington going to respond? And I thought that he played pretty well. I heard a couple of the announcers kind of get on him and say that he looked a bit shaky. But I thought for the most part, he held it down and he gave his team a chance to win. And the Blues were able to get through Tuukka Rask tonight. I don't think Rask played bad by any means. I just think that St. Louis had more pressure, had more scoring chances, and a few of them were lucky enough to hit the back of the net.
Yeah, that was the first game that Tuukka Rask allowed three goals on the road since I think it was Game 3 versus the Leafs. So shows you what kind of mode he was in. Not that Rask was bad. I don't think really either of the goalies had been up until this point other than the one game of Binnington in Game 3. But no one had been crazy tested. A lot of this matchup has been played in the trenches, along the corners, and in the neutral zone. But yeah, it was a great response by St. Louis. I knew we were fucked when fucking Brett Hall comes out about seven Hollywoods deep in about a half a bottle of whiskey and yells, "Let's go Blues" into the mic. Did you see that picture of him flipping off the Bruins bench too? Fucking loaded last game.
Brett Hall was smashed, man. He threw the finger up at the whole bench. He was feeling it and he was officially in one. And that was actually the first Stanley Cup final win in St. Louis ever for St. Louis. Even though they've been there a couple times, they've never won a game at home before.
No, it was pretty cool to see that for sure. Speaking of hilarious things to see, did you see that St. Louis fan slap Dave Portnoy over the head with the towel?
Slapped. That was a straight up assault.
Yeah. I agree, man. I think he should be in a neck brace after that. That was straight up. That was a violent, vicious assault, and it can't be tolerated.
Yeah, no, it was pretty funny. Stooley Prez released a review video after. He's got the bandage on. He's got the ice, and I don't know. He's making a scene of it. He's doing what he does, but it's just funny. You know, you live by the towel, die by the towel.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, some things are bigger than hockey. And he said that a lot of St. Louis fans have even offered to give the win back for the vicious assault. So, you know, maybe we can take that up under review here. But yeah, no, it was a great game last night. You saw, you know, I thought the refereeing was the best it's been in the series. Let's start that. I know a lot of Bruins fans were griping because it's true. Boston got called on some couple roughing penalties when they finish with the high hits and the gloves come up, and St. Louis sure likes to do that. That said, though, I don't know if it's, I see a lot of people griping about it today, and I'm just not there to complain about it yet. I think that Berube definitely saved himself a couple calls with that. But like for me to be mad at that, man, that's right out of the book. As soon as he did it, I'm like, that's the Claude Julien special. Play in Montreal. Anytime we'd come off a loss, he'd claim the refs weren't calling anything and that Montreal were divers. And the next game we'd get away with fucking murder. It was the whole 2011 playoffs. So I don't blame Berube for doing it and making those comments because I think it did save them a couple penalties this game. And I think the refs always bite that because they're fucking stupid, degenerate morons.
Well, I think first and foremost, yeah, you can credit Berube maybe a bit for kind of getting in the ref's head and then making them think about it at least. I mean, that's all he's trying to do there. But, I mean, if you ask me, the Blues in this series have been the better five-on-five team. And when St. Louis isn't in penalty trouble, when they're not having games like Game 3 where they're taking six penalties and giving up four power play goals, when the Blues are playing a five-on-five game, for the most part, they're the better team out there. And I think the big difference between Game 3 and Game 4... you look at Game 4, I think that the Blues actually were able to make those passes that they weren't able to in Game 3. In Game 3, the Bruins had the sticks in the right lane. They were lifting sticks, creating passing lanes, blocking shots. And I think that in Game 4, that turned around and it was the Blues. You've seen that Parayko shot from the point that eventually led to the Tarasenko goal. Just a little stick lift in the offensive zone by the Blues player to allow that puck through. And the stick work for the Blues improved from Games 3 to Games 4. You can see that they actually were trying to make a difference in that field.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Kyle. Another thing I feel good about, too, on the Boston end of things, and you kind of got a feel for St. Louis a little bit, is this 2 days off now. It sucks because, man, if they would have had to play tomorrow, I don't know. I know it's going into the Garden still, but, I mean, St. Louis has got to be on a high after that game.
Yeah, there's like...
That extra day can definitely kill your buzz. And I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but, man, win or lose, like I said at the beginning of this series, these are the two teams that deserve to be here. They play the fucking playoff-style hockey. And, man, this is what a cup final this has been so far. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. Boston or not, it's good hockey.
It is good hockey. I mean, I was talking to my neighbor yesterday in the driveway, and he's both complaining that we got to watch the Bruins go through it. But, you know, we can both admit that it's been a hell of a series, and it's fun to watch whether you're a fan or not. And I want to talk about something, Christy. Last night we seen Chara leave the game. He took a puck right up high, and a lot of early speculation, like you were saying, Chris, is that you think he maybe broke his jaw.
Yeah, definitely.
And if that comes to be, if that's the case and Char is done here for the series, that's a big hole to fill, and that's got to be advantage Blues, because you look at the role Clifton was thrown into last night when Chara went down, and he was heavily exposed. He had that shift in the second, Chrissy. He was on the ice for 3 minutes and 6 seconds, the shift from hell. And eventually he ends up taking a penalty. It was a soft one, but I mean, you've seen it coming. The pressure, the Blues had the puck in the zone for a solid 3 minutes, and you knew something was going to come out of it. Clifton takes a penalty there, and he also was the one who gave up that turnover on the empty netter. And I think that if that's the answer for the Bruins with Chara out, then I got to say advantage Blues.
You'd think so, yeah, but one thing is in game three there, game two, the Bruins lost Matt Greslick. He got banged up on the Sunfist hit. Now, yesterday before the game, he's still in Boston, Greslick. They sent him back, but Cassidy said all the reports were is that he was doing much, much, much better. His head felt good, and he might be able to
wake it up with headaches. Come on. Nobody knows.
He might be playing next game. That's what I think. I think that there's a great chance you could see Greslick step back in. Yeah, they do, because that's the position Greslick would have been in. Because when you're Greslick down and Chara down, and you have to remember, Boston doesn't have Kevin Miller in this series. He's missed the entire playoffs. And that's a series that a guy, this is the type of series that a guy like Kevin Miller would have thrived in, with the physicality. And, you know, the Blues have definitely taken some liberties bumping Rask. I mean, what do they got? Three goalie interference penalties. I don't think those necessarily happen, because, you know, everyone wants to talk about Chara, but Kevin Miller's the guy on our team that that can pretty much knock out anybody he fights. It seems, I know, like, right? The guy's a fucking animal. He's a gym freak, apparently. He's just a gym rat juice pig. Not actually, though, but you know what I mean. But he's just a gym guy, so he's supernaturally strong when he gets into those fights. But I got to say, as I think if Grizzlick feels even remotely all right, he's going to jump in. And, like, how long does a broken jaw? I know Chara's probably going to have some surgery unless it's cracked, but, like, I mean, he had the bubble cage on, like, all things considered. I don't think he would be out the series. I don't think he'd be out the series, though.
The broken, it depends on how bad it is.
Hit him in the jaw. He's fucking 6'9".
I guess, but even just the entire body rattles when you're thrown. And, like, even if you got a guy like Sammy Blais who's going to throw the body in, your whole body reverberates. You're going to feel it. I don't know if he'd get the clearance to play, but, I mean, Char seems like the kind of guy who'd play through it. Don't get me wrong. I think that he could be back in a necessary game 7 by this epic standard, but if his jaw's broken, I think he's out for the series.
Yeah, it would be hard to say not. I just don't really understand. I just don't really know. Like, I mean, I know there's severities of broken jaw, right? Like, sometimes you get a cracked jaw and it just takes time to heal. And then other times it's like you're getting your jaw wired shut and you're eating through a straw, and he's going to lose 30, 40 fucking pounds. So there's no way he's playing. It all depends on the severity, where the break is, what they have to do with the break in general. Now, Kyle, moving away from right at the beginning of the game, moving away from the Stanley Cup Finals, I'm not going to say that the Flyers were a little selfish in their announcement time of the trade, but holy man, right at puck drop, they announced that they acquired the rights to Winnipeg Jets forward Kevin Hayes in exchange for a 5th-round pick in this year's draft. You know, I got to say, you gotta like the move from the Flyers there, because that's nothing more than just getting Chuck Fletcher getting a head start on the tampering window. So good move for him.
Yep, and you got to remember here, Kevin Hayes played under Vigneault, the new coach for the Flyers. Mm-hmm. He played with him in New York for a couple years, and while I don't think that he utilized him correctly as a big third line center that he is, if he signs with Philly, that's just more added depth. And if they are able to sign him, Chris, that begs a question to me. What does that make of Nolan Patrick in that deal? Does that leave Nolan Patrick further down the depth chart, or do you think Kevin Hayes is being brought in to be that third line guy?
Yeah, see, I'm not too sure there. And that was the first thing I thought of as well. But where does this leave Nolan Patrick now? What about Nolan Patrick on the wing?
I think his entire career, he's been a center. It's the easiest transition going to wing other than from wing to center. So it's not impossible. I think that might be something that Philly has to do here. But this is no guarantee that Kevin Hayes even signs in Philadelphia.
No.
I mean, he might not like playing under Vigneault. He's had that experience for a couple years now. So, I mean, unless he kind of really sees a fit here, this is just an early window for Philly to shop.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, it's just that it's worth the 5th-round pick for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. And the Florida Panthers announced Coach Q's coaching staff. They got Mike Kitchen, Andrew Burnett, and Derek McKenzie, who was the captain, is named assistant coaches. So McKenzie's moving from the player role to the bench. Pretty cool to see. Or, sorry, not McKenzie. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good
that was
for
the
him.
Captain. He's moving
climbing to the ranks. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I got that right. I thought that got all fucked up there for a minute. I started thinking of somebody else. So that's crazy to see there. Florida's gearing up for a big offseason. Philly, you never know what's going to happen there. You just don't know what's going to happen with the Philadelphia Flyers. They're a team that in one offseason traded traded Richards and Carter. They're two core players right away. There's rumors out there that Gostis Bear could be available. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that was floating the big out one there. I heard. Is that if you look at him, I don't want to say that he's been held responsible for, I don't want to say the collapse, but this is a Philly team that many expected should have been in there, should have been a team like the Islanders, should have been a team like Carolina. They've got a deep roster. They just haven't really had goaltending. But now that with Carter Hart around and him being the official number one guy and looking like he's ready for the role, if he can be solid this year, this is a team that by all means should at least be in the race to the end. And Gostisbehere hasn't really been the defensive stalwart, and he was never going to be that guy. But the Flyers have really kind of seemed to really favor Sanheim and Provorov ahead of him in those big moments. And if that's if they're looking at him like a power play specialist or a points defenseman, that's valuable in today's league. And if they can trade him for someone else, they've got guys that are moving up the depth chart that can replace him. Interesting to see what's going to happen, but with him available, there should be teams calling.
Yeah, no, definitely. You would know for damn sure there'll be a lot of teams calling. You look at another team I want to talk about going into an interesting offseason, the Toronto Maple Leafs. They have Patrick Marleau's name out there, as well as Zaitsev requested a trade, which is kind of like your dog shit requesting you to throw it into the garbage.
I don't get that one, but I did hear a nice little quote about him. He threw some serious shade at Don Cherry. He said, I don't know why anyone cares what he has to say. Something that he says on TV is in the news the next day as if he's somebody and he knows something. So I think that he has really seen the Toronto media side of things, and like a lot of guys wouldn't want out. And he's requested a trade. He's okay. He knows the Leafs are trying to move him and his cap, so he's not in a comfortable situation. He knows he's not wanted. He doesn't like the media attention there. And if I'm another team in the league, why would I do the Leafs a solid here? I've seen enough of Zaitsev to know that he's a third pairing defenseman at best. He is physical. He does clear the net out a little bit. He's tough in that regard, but at a 5.5 mil cap hit for the next 5 years, I just don't know why a team would do them a favor unless they're giving up Andreas Janssen, or unless they're giving up Jeremy Bracco, or you know, a solid piece that a team, the Leafs, don't want to give. But I mean, that's the only way that Zaitsev is dealt is with a gimme. But I don't see him being moved.
What about a sweetener in Connor Brown? Did you like how I tagged you? That the Leafs fans are trying. Leafs fans Brown. On Twitter try to give Connor Brown away in every deal. It's the funniest thing ever. Nobody wants Connor Brown. And another thing I want to go here while I'm fired up. You know what needs to get the puck out, crazy. Kyle? You know what needs to get the puck out? Zaitsev talking about grapes like that. What do you mean? Like as if he's somebody? Who the fuck are you? You bum! You fucking terrible bum! Don't talk about grapes like that. Listen, whether you like Don Cherry or you don't like Don Cherry, guess what? The world wasn't PC down in 1945 when he started on the goddamn CBC. That didn't happen then. Don Cherry doesn't give a fuck about your feelings. He doesn't give a fuck if you came from Europe. And Nikita Zaitsev, shut your mouth and wait to get traded if anyone will even take you. He should go back to the KHL. He stinks.
Yeah, I do like the Connor Brown reference there. But, Chrissy, the funniest part about it is that the one team rumored to have had interest in a guy like Connor Brown, the Edmonton Oilers.
Of course. Connor Brown would be the most Edmonton Oilers player in the history of the Edmonton Oilers.
He really would be.
That would be such a fucking Peter Chiarelli move. I'd like to think that Ken Holland will know enough to keep the fuck away from Connor Brown because it's overrated. That said, anything can happen in Edmonton, and I expect some big, crazy things. Now, Kyle, speaking
of Edmonton looking at the Leafs, sorry, I'm going to interrupt you there. If I'm Edmonton looking at the Leafs, I'm looking at Nazem Kadri over at Connor Brown. Kadri could potentially be available, and with him kind of I don't want to see being at fault for the past few playoff rounds, but I mean, there is a heavy, heavy cloud over his head from everyone that knows he needs to be better, and he could potentially be available. Now, if you have McDavid, Nugent Hopkins, Nazem Kadri down your middle, I think that with a new coach, with a new GM who's going to step in and actually surround the roster with solid players, that's the guy I'm looking at. Fuck Connor Brown.
No, exactly. But the other thing is that if the Oilers do go and make the playoffs, is Kadri just going to cross-check someone in the head and get the fuck out? That's the problem, right? Kadri, that's a great spot. Another great spot I could see as well would be like the New Jersey Devils for Kadri, a spot like that where if they do go Capo Caco, they could grab Kadri, right? Like, I think that's a good
spot. If he's got a modified no-trade clause, there's no way that Kadri's going to want to go to New Jersey. I could see him maybe wanting to play on a team with McDavid, who that's a... a heavy advertising for them, but I don't know if he would accept it to New Jersey.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I mean...
Would be a good fit.
It would be big news. And Kyle, speaking of big news, I need to cut in here. Goal Line Coffee Company website going live today. Finally got the upgrades it needed to handle all the orders because everyone has realized, listening to Get the Puck Out here on Full Press Coverage Radio, that all other coffee... tastes like piss, and the people are sick of it. Did you see our boy Fantasy Hockey Trades out of New York? Guess what? He's sending coffee there, man, because guess what? Starbucks tastes like piss. Fucking Dunkin' Donuts tastes like piss. Everything tastes like piss, Kyle. And guess what, though?
The best part of waking up.
When that Goal Line coffee hits the back of your throat, you've got four delicious flavors. This ain't your grandma's pit water. This is Goal Line coffee, and it is the official coffee of hockey.
McDonald's coffee also tastes like piss, Kyle. It's all about Goal Line Coffee Company. It's the official coffee of hockey. The website's live today. The Get the Puck Up logo is going to be on the website. We're excited about that. And everybody, as soon as it goes live, make sure you check us out on Twitter at GTPO_hockey. You can catch us there on Instagram as well. And make sure you follow Full Press FPC_NHL on Twitter as well for all NHL breaking news. But yeah, huge news with Goal Line. And I couldn't be happier for Joe. He's a Blues fan too, right? And we're going through the war, just like Ken Bone. All these guys are telling me are my enemy right now. But Joe's the man, and his coffee kicks ass, and we're pumped for him.
Walk in the trenches together, absolutely. This was my year, Chrissy, and you guys shit on it. But what a ride. And like I said, fan or not, this has been a hell of a series. Blues and Bruins. I hate the 3 days off. You mentioned it earlier. It does kill some momentum. They did that three times in this series. All three times as they switch city, there's going to be a three-day break.
Two days off.
But like play on the third day, right?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But yeah, it's 2 days off. And I think that, again, I think that that's not beneficial to St. Louis. And I think for a team like Boston, who is carrying injuries, it's just another day to rest. You saw them come out great between game two and three, right? It seemed like that extra day has been more beneficial to Boston. I like the Bruins to come in and hold game five down at home. I do think that's going to happen. But guess what? I think there could be a couple more flights because I think we could be seeing Kevin Gesterling hit and play on glory hole in game six when we get back to St. Louis. You just don't know what's going to happen. Guys, we thank you very much. This was our post game of game four, the recap show. Kyle, thanks for being here, man. And, always being the best co-host on the planet, even though you're a bit of a cunt Tampa Bay Lightning fan. That's okay.
Man, we all got our demons.
Don't we?
Absolutely. Well, all right, Chris. Well, it is time to get the puck out of here. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, guys, have a good day. Thanks for listening.